Now, you know, we've been talking about grace, grace, grace. And you definitely, God's grace. And I'm hoping that the group from Kentucky is listening in, because we covered this pretty extensively. And I do believe in total grace. I don't believe there's a thing that once you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that could ever send you to hell.
Amen.
I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. I believe it's a gift of God. I believe it's a complete gift. I don't think it's partial and you get part of it when you get there and you tag home base. I don't think that's the case.
Well, I know,
but
what? People that preach it, they wind up contradicting themselves through and through their ministry.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. If you know, you either believe that he paid it all, or you believe he paid it all and you've got to do something in order to keep it. That's the deal. But I do believe, listen to me carefully, in Christian responsibility. I don't believe it's the will of God for you to booze it up, run out and commit adultery, beat your wife, murder. I don't believe it's okay. I believe you'll be saved. But I believe that can affect you, your life.
And your ministry.
And your ministry.
Amen.
And I think, you know, you can talk about grace and grace and grace and grace, but then, you know, sometimes we want to use that little grace for an occasion to the flesh.
That's right.
And you got to be cautious. Corinthians chapter 6, I want to start with this verse, because I do believe all things are lawful. And I believe that the work is finished. Look in verse 12 in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. The Bible says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not what?
Expedient.
And really, if you think about that in just simple truth, you've got to accept that. Are all things lawful?
Yes.
That's very hard to accept, isn't it? But he's saying not all things are going to bring about the results you're looking for. They're not going to bring about the results. They're selfish things that will cause you to fail in your ministry. And I can tell you, it can be very, very simple. Now, you don't have the right to give up your liberty. You understand? Because that would be giving up grace and going back under the law. And God doesn't want you to do that at all. But there are some certain things that God wants you to understand. For example, go to Romans. Oh, by the way, I might add at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, put 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23. And it says it again. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23. Right there by 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12.
10:23.
Yes. And then turn there for a minute and let me look. Again, it reiterates that. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not what?
Expedient.
All things are lawful unto me, but all things edify not. Some things would take away from the edifying of the Word of God. Y'all understand? So you've got to be cautious. If you're serious about the ministry and you're serious about your testimony, the thing you're protecting is a testimony. I had Rosita sit down, and I hope she's watching tonight. Rosita sat down and says, well, you know, I understand this grace, but, you know, you can really mess up people with this grace saying. And I said, what do you mean? Well, what happens if they caught you out there totally stoneball drunk? It could affect your testimony forever. Those religious people, see, they're looking for a reason to not accept grace. Y'all understand? They're zoomed in to say, hey, what can I find in your life that ain't quite right that I can hammer you with and nail it so that they don't have to believe in grace. And listen, all you're doing is protecting your ministry or your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, I don't want this. I'm not putting anybody under the law. I'm not trying to slide them up under the realm of the kingdom message. I'm going to show you what the Apostle Paul said. The very first thing you have to learn is to walk in grace a little bit. And I would go to Romans chapter 14. In Romans chapter 14, I'd look there. I've got some nephews and nieces that I believe are saved. They're trusting the Lord. But I believe they're affecting their testimony by the way they live. They could be much more effectual ministers of the grace of God and the minister of grace by watching their actions. And I do believe that. You know, people say, well, my dad comes up all the time and says, it's grace, you gotta let it go, it's grace. Well, that's true, it is grace. And it's true, I don't judge them for it. Because you know what, I'm as guilty as the next person. But when it comes to testimony, I guarantee you there's people they couldn't witness to because of the action they've taken. You know how I know? I've been in that same position myself. Did you hear me? I'm no better than they are. I don't claim to be any better. You know what the Bible says? I'm carnal, sold under sin. You got it?
That's why it's so hard for family members to worship you, to talk to them about leading to the Lord and things. Because they know them so well.
And that has
to... And they know that, you know... things they've done in the past. It's kind of hard to say, how can you tell me you've done all this? You know, so they're quick to judge.
Dale, you hit it right on the nose. They do. And listen, here's the thing. If you go around, you might be naive if you think otherwise.
Right.
Lost people are going to judge you harsher than they judge themselves.
That's right.
That's a fact. But this is the solution, kind of to the whole thing. I want to start up in the passage just a little bit. I'm going to start in 14. I'll come back and hit the first part of 14 for, later, but I want to go to Romans 14, verse 14. Well, come up to 13. All right. Well, verse 12. Doggone it. It's all good. You know, just read the whole chapter.
Right.
You know, people always... that's always been a really torker for me, is some of these people think I don't read the whole chapter. Brother, I try to put things in the context of the chapter.
Right.
But you must read the whole chapter. You all understand? You cannot hear this sermon tonight and not go home and read all of Romans 14. That would be embarrassing if you did that.
Right.
Went home and didn't read it? Are you kidding me? Verse 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now, let me ask you, are any of us going to give an account for our sin?
No.
No.
Our sin was laid upon the Lord. So sin that used to be here is now been planted here. So what is he going to judge you for from the moment you get saved?
What you do,
your
conduct.
It's going to be your doctrine.
It's going to be your doctrine and why and how you protected that doctrine. You got it? It's not going to be your conduct necessarily, because we're all going to fail at that. Amen? All have sinned. We're going to fail. Paul failed. We're all going to fail. But it's how you take the doctrine and protect it, and that's a little bit even from yourself. But look what he says. Praise the Lord. I don't know who just texted that to me. You need to put your name when you text that, because I have no clue who the number is. Verse 13. So, verse 12 again. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Well, you're not going to give an account of your sin, are you?
No.
That's been paid for. But how you protect this truth, how you uphold this truth, how you stand for this truth, and what you did for this truth, plus God is going to come into judgment. How I preach this truth is going to come into judgment. How I treated you guys will come into judgment based upon the doctrine he told me to do. Y'all understand? Make no mistake, that is going to be a fact. It's not going to be your action. It's not going to be whether you drink a margarita or not. That's not the key. It's going to be, did you get the doctrine down, and did you uphold it, and did you support it financially, and did everything you could, every aspect of your life you could do to help protect that truth, that's what you're going to be judged for. And that does include, as Wayne yelled, some conduct. Why, look what it says. The first thing is, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Should we judge each other?
No.
No, we're not going to go, well, that person over there is drinking. That person over there is.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Rhoda. Let me turn the ringer off. I can see when it does it. Then y'all understand? So it is not an issue of whether you're to keep the law or whatever. But come on. We're not supposed to judge one another anymore. Why? Christ paid for all those sins at Calvary. Amen?
Amen.
You know, we ought to have a humble attitude like Paul. We ought not to have a high-minded... You know, the Bible said not be high-minded. Don't think of yourself above that which you thought. Don't do that. Be humble. And know that what we're doing is defending the faith, boys and girls. You're showing up on Sundays and Wednesdays and stuff isn't a requirement necessarily for you. But how would it affect you? How would it affect you if you were the new person and nobody was here?
You'd wonder why.
You'd wonder why. Is this truth worth hearing? And just by not being here, you could be a stumbling block.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all understand? Mm-hmm. Just by you not being here. That's why when I go to Bible conferences, I make sure I come back. You know, once in a while, I want you, you know, stay. I'm going to stay and vacate too. And most time, I'm going to be back here on Sunday. You know why? This is my ministry. This is what God called me to. This is what God called me to do. Now, I don't know what God called you to do. Maybe God called you to just float. You're a floater. You just float, 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 and that's good. Maybe that's what God called you to do. But He didn't call me to do that. You all understand? He told me to take care of this place that we're doing and trying to do what we can do. But we're not to judge one another anymore. And that is probably the hardest spiritual truth we will ever get over to do. If you ever accomplish that, you will have accomplished a mighty task. I have not accomplished that yet. Working to try not to judge people. Yes?
So now... I have a case where if you see someone doing something, you say, well, yeah, that person is doing it. That's not judging. It's just calling a spade a spade.
Well, and I'm going to show you that at the end. You know, I mean, I think Galatians 6 deals with that verse that you can go to a brother that's overtaken in a fault. And we'll deal with this probably after this passage.
Well, sometimes it's just automatic. You do it.
You do
it. That's wrong. You know, what am I there? You know, you just.
You know, but when you see a brother that doesn't know he's caught in a fault, you know, then it's okay to go to him. You just don't want to go like, hey, I've got it under control. I'm Joe Christian. Look at me. Because you know what I found out about that? You will probably fall in the ditch. Just be prepared. All right, let's go on. Verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, let's just get it straight up. I believe I have the right, if I want to have a glass of wine. I believe God would be perfectly fine with it. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ and I could have a glass of wine together. You all understand? I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But I can tell you, I've been out with a glass of wine at a nice restaurant, and I had people came over, and I said, one time I was at the Bonefish, and somebody literally came up and said, I thought you were a preacher. See, they were offended by that glass of wine. You all understand? And I wasn't ashamed, or I didn't come into condemnation and didn't feel guilty. But I wish I hadn't done it, because now I don't know whether I can witness to that person.
That's right. Amen.
You understand? Now, if I'd had a glass of wine at home and nobody saw me, would God have cared? Would God care whether I had it out there? As long as I'm not being a stumbling block. And listen, as soon as you become a stumbling block, you have lost your tool of witness, because your purity has been called into question.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying it's not okay to do. I don't care if people go out and have a beer once in a while, but if they see you out on the golf course drinking 4 or 5 beers and swinging the golf club and cussing and doing all that, and they see you and then they hear you're a preacher or that you're a Bible student or you're trying to study the Word of God rightly divided, you have just caused that brother or that person, lost or saved, to stumble, and that is not what God wants to happen. Yes?
Where is it that it says something about the grinding stone and grinding stone, grinding wheel around your neck?
You're talking about in Matthew.
Yeah, that's not about
influence the child.
I don't know.
Not to offend.
It's better to tie a millstone around your neck than to offend.
Yeah, I know the basic verse. It's in Matthew, I think. But don't get that legalistic. All you have to understand is what you don't want to do is cause your brother to stumble or to fall.
Right.
Yeah. The world is so evil, they want to call us hypocrites anyway.
They do want to call us hypocrites. They want to judge us. They want to put us down. Hey, listen, one of the guys I'll never get. And you can win people through your weakness. And that's what I want to show you. You know, not every weak moment is given to put a stumbling block. Just a second, Wayne. I'll get to you in just a minute. But I was working at Kmart on a Sunday. And the reason I worked on... Hey, Hannah, sit down, honey. You don't need to go for 1 hour. I guarantee your bladder will hold it. Thank you. Just wait. You'll be good. Whole thing is I was working on Sunday. And the reason we were working on Sunday is Friday night was my Bible class up in Port Arthur with Jimmy and Jan Brown. And we would drive 2 hours to class every day. People say, well, I have a hard time making it to class. I understand. I drove 2 hours to get to my Bible class. But we did it. And the trade-off was I had to work on Sundays, which was fine with me because my Bible class was on Friday. And that's where I was learning. And Brother Richard Deegan, buddy, that was an experience. That'll go down in grace history forever. That man was in very interesting. A brick mason, and he was all of a brick mason. Arms and hair like... He reminded me of John the Baptist, you know, what he might have looked like. You know, just wild. Anyway, one Sunday I asked Brad Schumann, and I had been Mr. Upright, trying to live for the Lord, and I think I was right in doing that. Because people were looking at me. My nickname at Kmart wasn't manager or Mr. Hampton, it was Preacher Man. They all called me Preacher Man. And I liked that because I wanted to become a preacher. I think that was always my desire from the time I got saved. But I really tried to hold my vessel up in honor and tried not to just go out and do it. And man, I mean, buddy, I went through the fire. In corporate life, people want you to go out and drink with them. I mean, it's a really an amazing thing, actually. And I resisted all that, although, you know, I'm sure I'd like a drink like anyone else. You know, days get long, too, you know. But I didn't. But that one Sunday afternoon, I told Brad, and I got mad. And buddy, I just cussed like a sailor. I mean, I let it rip. I said, you guys get your over here and build this, and you know, and that. And I'm telling you, all three of them did this.
Gotcha.
The preacher cussed. You know what I mean? And I told him, I said, look, I've been telling you for 6 months now that I'm not any good. And you just got to see a sample of it. And if you want to see more, just have this end cap not looking good in 5 minutes. And I'll show you a little bit more. Okay? Well, Brad Schumann understood that I had been telling them there's none good, no, not one. And I flat made a mistake. And I did. It was wrong. Would I do it again? Absolutely, yes. You know, that or a 2x4 was going to start swinging. You know what I mean? I'd rather cuss at them than beat the hell out of them. You know what I mean? That was a joke. Okay, probably not too funny. But anyway, and reality is that Brad Schumann ended up getting saved about three or four weeks later after that. I don't know exactly when. He came in and hugged my neck and he said, I understand what you mean. See, I don't believe there's any good, and I'm not any good. But see, people are looking at me, and they want to see whether I'm going to falter or stutter or a thing. And let me tell you what, all it takes is one stumble, and they won't ever listen to you again. There's a guy named Larry up there that is a couple of the boys' daddy. And I guarantee you, if he ever caught those boys drinking or raising hell or doing anything, he would never listen to Grace ever again. Say, well, I want to win my daddy the Lord. Then you got to, hey, listen, you better guard your testimony. Does that make sense? Why? You do not want, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, I know, look at how he runs this around in verse 14. I know, and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself. Isn't that fantastic? I mean, he's putting great. I know. And even the Lord knows that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that anything, esteem anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. So if that daddy thinks drinking is a sin and he sees his kids doing it, even though it's right, guess what? It causes him to stumble. And you've left the opportunity to win him for all eternity. Can you imagine that one thing might send somebody to hell that you knew and you loved and you wanted to get saved and you wanted to have eternal life, but because they caught you drinking or cussing or sleeping around like a whore, or a whoremonger if you're a guy, and that one thing for all eternity would never believe the grace message, that one thing causes them to go to hell, you in a sense just went ahead and pushed that brother right up into hell. That's what you did. Say, well, that's a lot of responsibility. Grace comes with a heavy amount of responsibility. Grace is not the license to sin. It never has been. Grace has never been an occasion to just live your life anyway. You damn well please. No way, no how. Y'all understand? God's not interested in that at all. God wants you to uphold. He does not want you to go back under the commandments. He doesn't want you to become a legalist. He doesn't want to think you're better than someone else. He doesn't want you to get a haughty attitude of how good you are. Because you know what? The Bible says clearly, there is none good, no, not one. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 3. All of our righteousness, even the stuff that we're doing to try to keep people from stumbling, all of our righteousness is nothing but what?
Filthy rags.
Filthy rags. It ain't going to pile up. It's not going to add. But your testimony affects everyone you come in contact with, whether you like it or not. You with me? Yes.
So then by that guy seeing you drink a glass of wine or seeing me drink a glass of wine becomes a stumbling block, and so God's going to be mad at me about it? I mean,
no. But you will be judged if you caused him to err based upon that.
Because it says a little wine is good for the stomach.
You're absolutely right. But the guy that you were doing it in front of. Now, if you do a little wine, this is my suggestion. Do it at home. You shouldn't be driving and drinking anyway.
Well, couldn't we just show him that scripture in the Bible that it says?
You can. Yes. And
so then we wouldn't be doing the stomach.
No, I try to teach that in grace.
Right.
Jesus Christ drank wine himself.
He sure did.
No, but you understand, but to a person, let me read the verse 14 again. I know, and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus. I mean, he's persuaded by him. This is the one that's laid it out. That there is nothing unclean of itself. Is that true?
Amen.
I put Romans chapter 6, verse 12 right there. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. I'm picking my Bible pen. But to him that esteem anything to be what? That's who we're talking about, Gene. Now, why would you be drinking wine in front of someone who might think it's unclean? Or that it's a sin?
But I might not even know that he thought it was unclean.
You got to come on with me.
Well, no, I'm just standing on a little wine is good for the body.
No, it is. It absolutely is. And I just read the verse that there is nothing unclean of itself. But can that little bit be a stumbling block to somebody else?
Right.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Yes or no?
Yes.
So don't do it in front of those people. If you want to have a glass of wine, come over to the preacher's house. I'll have a glass of wine with you. I don't have a problem with that. You understand? But I wouldn't go around saying, I got a new crowd, let me just hang out and have four or five glasses of wine. I wouldn't do that, Gene.
Well, me either, four or five now.
You understand?
Yes.
I mean, you know, if you want to come over to my house and have a little glass of wine, I'll invite you over. That's not a big deal. Because you know the truth. But those people that don't know the truth, that are judgmental and they're hostile and trying to put down your ministry and trying to put down you, they are looking for excuse not to believe. Y'all understand? You understand? Come over to my house. I'll be more than happy to serve you up.
When I was going to Bible study at my grandmother's, she once said to me, she was fussing at me about something, you're just trying to be holier than thou. And I mean, if I could have fainted and vanished away, I would have. My grandmother said that to me, and I said to her, what does that mean? I'm going to church to learn about the scripture. What is holier than thou? I was shocked she said that to me.
Well, sometimes people think that they're better than others. And by the way, that can be the stumbling block too.
Right.
Going to church?
No. Thinking of yourself more highly. Yes. It can go either way, guys. It can go the glass of wine, or it can go self-righteousness.
Right.
Puffed up, think you know more than they do.
It can go either way.
Right.
The thing is whatever this person esteems anything to be unclean, to him it's what?
Unclean.
You can't change that.
No.
Now listen, you can say, well, what about this or what about that? You can't change the fact that there are some people that think that having a glass of wine would send you to hell.
Right.
Now, could you teach them the doctrine?
Yes. Amen.
Yes. Could you show them that?
Yes.
Could you show them grace?
Yes.
Could then you, after you showed them all and they were comfortable with it, have a glass of wine?
Sure. Yes.
But what happens if you had the glass of wine first? You may never get a chance to show them.
Right.
Now you may.
And you may not.
But you may not. You got it?
Right.
And that's the way it is. What am I trying to tell you? Protect your testimony.
Yeah.
You want those guys, you want people to go, you know, like the Kentucky group, man, they're all fired up, studying the Word of God, putting up scriptures. I praise God that they're not putting up drinking pictures of a campfire. And that would destroy all that we've done. Y'all understand? It would destroy it because those people are legalists.
Right.
And they're hot to trot to try to find 1 ounce of error. And you can't let them have that. Once the people know grace, come to a Bible conference, you can relax a little bit. Y'all understand?
I was that way, Barry. Coming out of a Pentecostal church, the first time I went to Mary's church as a Baptist, and they were walking out smoking a cigarette coming out of church, it freaked me out. I said, these folks are crazy and going to hell.
Absolutely. That's a good point. Did y'all hear Wayne? Let me reiterate that on the internet so you could hear it. He said he was a Pentecostal, came to Mary's Baptist church, and there are people out there smoking cigarettes. Now, I don't have anything against smoking. Smoke all you want. But you know what? They might go like Wayne and say, those people are going to hell. They're going to bust hell wide open. See, because that's the system he was in. Now, he's the one. Now, listen to this. But unto him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Guess what was unclean to Wayne? The smoking. Those people wouldn't have stood up. I bet the preacher didn't smoke.
No, I didn't see him come out, so I can't say, but yeah.
But you see what I'm saying? Why? Because the preacher knows everybody's judging him and looking at him with a magnifying glass. But you know what? You are a little preacher. The people around you are listening to you. And what you do and what you need to do is protect your testimony. I'm not telling you this to rebuke you or that. But you need to know the facts about grace. Now, come on down just a little bit. Verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitable? Destroy him not with thy meat, for whom Christ died. What would be one of those meats?
Smoking, drinking.
No, the meat.
Whore.
It was idol. It was food served up to idols. It could have been the rib cooking contest. Could throw somebody off.
Anything offered to the idol.
Verse 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of.
Right.
Now we know that all things are pure, right? You got to be careful. And we know this, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It doesn't have to do with that. It does it for them because that's all they can see. For us, it's righteousness.
Right.
For us, it doesn't have anything to do with what we're eating or drinking. All things are lawful unto us. Amen?
Amen.
But unto them, it's meat and drink. And so they're looking for the meat and drink. But we know the real truth is it's about righteousness. Am I doing an okay? Are y'all getting anything out of this tonight?
Amen.
This is so important. When we talk to each other in the church, and we talk with a condescending tone, or we talk with an attitude of haughtiness or irritability, sometimes we've got some people that would do that, I don't know. People walk in and say, why would I want to be part of that? You know what the Bible says in Romans 13, right before this chapter? Love worketh no ill to the neighbor. Y'all understand? Love worketh no ill. You know what? We ought to be the tightest group in history. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
You know? Why? Yeah, we are in the flesh, but you know what? Some of that we start to learn that some of this stuff doesn't matter, let it go. You don't have to win the argument. You know what I found out in my 51 years of walking on planet Earth? That the truth will come out no matter what, somewhere down the way.
That's right.
You don't have to win.
That's true.
You know? You don't have to win. Relax. Everybody take a deep breath. It's grace.
That's right.
I like the old Rodney King philosophy. Can't we all just get along? That's a pretty good idea. So, Rodney, why'd you break the law? We can all get along, can't we? I hope so. I would say, if you're saying probably not, you're not allowing the love of Christ to come out, but I believe the love of Christ. And listen, let me tell you, well, there's people in this room that I care for more than my own family. I absolutely love you. You all understand that? Mary, you understand that? Dan?
I'm just going by human nature.
Yeah, but you know who you can call on when it's downtime.
Well, yeah.
Anybody in this room you can call on. These are, you know what? Listen, let me tell you what. The realization is you can have the love of Christ. And you better promote that instead of you can't, I can't do this. You know what? If you get that kind of philosophy in your mouth, you're going to be the I can and I can't, I can't. And that's exactly what's going to happen. You know what? You can give your brothers the love of Christ and respect. And you can learn not to judge them. You know how I know that? It's a doctrine in the Word of God. If you couldn't do it, He wouldn't have put it in there for you to do. You have to stop yourself a few times. Say, hey, that's not right. Do you understand? Hey, listen, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. They think it's meat and drink. So guess what they're going to judge you in? Meat and drink. That's all they have to judge you on. You know why? They don't have the righteousness of God. So all they can do is go by looking at your actions and telling whether you're succeeding or failing based upon their scale of succeeding and failing. And a Baptist may have one thing, a Pentecostal may have another, and a Mennonite may have another, and they have that swinging sail. Hey, but listen, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I do have peace. And I do have joy. People see me and they want to be like me. You know why? I want to be like Him. I walk around happy. Brother Moore, I used to go up to him all the time. I said, how are you, Brother Moore? And he says, Barry, I'm terrible. And he was kind of joking. You know, he was just being controversial. And I started learning that after I got to know him a little bit. But I was just the opposite. Say, how are you, man? I'm so fantastic, it's ridiculous. He'll say, I don't know what he's on, but I want it. Well, I'll show you what I'm on. Let me open the scriptures and show you what I'm on. These words that I preach on, they are alive. You ever get down negative? You ever get down burned out? Read a little bit of this and pucker up on it and think about yourself being the righteousness of God when you look in the mirror that morning when you shave. And I'm talking about some of you women too. I was joking about that.
Why did Brother Moore say that?
What?
I'm terrible.
Well, I think he was saying his state was terrible. And in a sense, that's how we are, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're wanting to go and be with the Lord. Who wouldn't want right now to die and be in the peace of God for all eternity?
Yeah.
Okay, let me see. This world, Deborah's dying. Deborah's friend is dying. Jackie's sister gone. Bye-bye. Y'all understand? Oh, I'd rather to have that than the peace of God and be with the Lord for all eternity. Something is wrong with you. skip down to verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. Remember, he said, edifieth not in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23. Mm-hmm. All things are lawful, but not all things, all things edify not. Remember that? The problem, and you know, that's really unbelievable. And so, let us therefore follow after which maketh peace. Well, I guarantee you that if I was up there with those Mennonites and I whipped out a big stogie,
Pentecost.
Who was that? Was it Bollinger that used to?
No.
Didn't he?
It wasn't Bollinger. It was Spurgeon.
Spurgeon
was. Smoked in the pulpit.
Smoked in the pulpit, take a cigar, and him and D.L. Moody used to go in it because D.L. Moody thought that he should quit and not do it because it was bad on ministry. But Spurgeon actually spoke to more people than anybody.
Well, and listen, you can end up using that glass of wine in front of the stumbling block to show them some truth. But you got to watch it. It may go the other way. So the point that I'm making is those Mennonites would never have listened to me. There wouldn't be anybody in here that would have probably first listened to me. Ask Stan. Stan was with me those 2 years. He wanted to quit. He was looking for any excuse he could find to quit. And you know what they do? They're looking at my personal life to see if I've got any flaws. Well, if you look close enough, I can assure you this. You'll find some. Now, look what he says. Verse 20. This is so clear to me. Is this not clear to y'all? This ought to be clear to you. I'm not taking and putting you back under the law. This is just common sense stuff. For the meat destroy not the work of God. Say that again. For the meat destroy not the work of God. Hey, if you eat something off your idol, it is not going to destroy the work of God. All things indeed are what?
Pure.
He said that a couple of times now. Are you starting to get it? Everything's okay for you to do. Gene, did you hear me? It's okay. What is the one thing you got to watch out for? Not to put an occasion or a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in your brother's way.
Right.
That's what you can't do. And if there's someone weak, and there's someone that hadn't unlearned, and they're looking at meat and drink instead of righteousness, show them the truth. They'll be better wine partners later.
Right.
Yeah, that was a joke.
Right.
Y'all understand?
Right.
But you can't go into public and act like nincompoops and drink it up and say, it's the grace of God. They'll think you're a lunatic.
But it has some constraint.
Hey, you can't do it. Read that second part of verse 20. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eateth them with offense. Did you get that? It's evil if he thinks it's evil. And if you're making him eat it or drink it because you have the grace and he feels uncomfortable, you're causing some problems. So he says, it's good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother what? That ought to be pretty clear, Gene. You ought to be able to judge that at your age, whether you're causing a stumbling block. It ought not to be a little bit weird or anything. You should know defined moments. Amen? It is good. Verse 21. This is the whole crux of the matter. Verse 21. I never read the context. Well, we're reading the context tonight. Amen?
Amen.
It is good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. There are the three cases. You got it? Y'all understand? And that's not being a legalist. Because you know in verse 17 what it's all about. What's it all about? It's about righteousness. It doesn't have anything to do with what you... Listen, it doesn't have anything with what you wear,
right,
what you drink,
right,
what you eat, and how you act. It's about the finished work of Calvary. You know that.
Nothing
Nothing else. But everybody else thinks it's something else. When I first met Tony, I had never met a man as religious as Tony, ever, in my whole life. I'm telling you. I had met a man that was so lost in religion. I have never met a man that lost in religion. I'm just telling you. Is that not true? I mean, everything was, oh, legal, then, oh, God, can't do this, can't touch that. I mean, he was so squeaky clean until I found out about the bell tower. Don't go to the bell tower.
True, but
my
conservative because of that.
Yeah, but you know what? Those are the kind of people that are going to judge you and hold you down. You better uphold your truth with truth and walk the walk. You understand? Because they're looking at for you to fall. That's what's happened. Y'all understand? Oh, we're going to lose him there for a little bit. Tony, come to the light.
No,
no, come to the light.
Verse 22, and this is the point. Have thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the things which he alloweth. Well, isn't that true? And he that doubteth is what?
Damned.
Damn. People say Paul doesn't ever talk about hell or being damned. Baloney. He that doubteth is damned if he eateth, because he eateth not of faith. He thinks it's in, he thinks it's going to send him to hell. Guess what? He's going to end up in hell. Because he had trusted the righteousness of God.
That's right.
He thinks it's something he's doing, but it doesn't matter to him, does it?
Right. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter to him at all. Now that's the way it is, boys and girls. That's the way the cookie crumbles. I tell you how evil sometimes we are. We know a guy's a diabetic or a lady's a diabetic, and we'll hold the donut up underneath their nose. You know what I mean? That's wrong. Every time I see Jean leave with those donuts or thing, I'm like, no, she's a diabetic.
They go to my office.
Thank God. Kill all film. You'll get a promotion that way.
Yeah. They love them. They look for
them. Wrong is the person who's a diabetic who gives into it that he knows.
But hey, sometimes it's weak.
That's true.
You know, if you're going to come over and you're a diabetic, I'm probably not going to serve you a cake. We're probably going to have meat and vegetables, believe it or not. Amen. Y'all with me? Have I made y'all mad?
No.
All right, let's try a couple more verses. That was Romans 14. Go to Titus. And there's more verses than I can get in tonight. I thought going down, though, was very pleasant in Romans 14, didn't you? I think it explained it as good as it can be explained. Or as what?
No, I figured the verse. I was guessing the verse you were going to in Titus.
Which one?
1:15.
Yeah, that's it. Very good. Verse 15, Titus chapter 1, verse 15. On to the pure, all things are pure. How many times have we heard that? You got to get that in your mind. That's grace. Amen. But on to them that are defiled and unbelieving is what?
Then it's not for you pure.
It doesn't. Oh man, that person's in sin there. Well, they don't even know what sin is, most of them. But even their mind and their conscience is what?
Defiled.
Now watch, they profess that they know God, but in their works they what?
Deny.
In the fact that they're doing works deny the grace of God, they're telling me they're completing their salvation on their own. You all got it? I mean, Paul, even in the point of telling you to control your testimony and make sure you're not a stumbling block or a rock of offense to anybody that might be standing in your way that you might be able to witness to, you better uphold they better hear you talk rightness and godliness and right things instead of talking trash and filthy mouth and boozing it up. Amen? Because when it comes time to witness, it's going to be a whole lot easier when you start knowing where they are. Yes, that's true. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. That's a good verse. But you know, yeah, that was Lee Waltman. I appreciate Lee tuning in. Your testimony is important. Go to Galatians. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Have I gotten to you guys tonight? Have I got the point across? I want you to understand that, hey, grace is the most absolutely incredible place you'll ever be. But you know what? The world isn't looking for grace. It's looking to how good you're talking, walking, and acting.
That's why they use the term, you got to live it.
Yeah, that's why you got to live it, they're telling you. Well, if they see you not living it, and I'm thinking about these young boys and wanting to win their daddy to the Lord, well, let me tell you what, you can't let that daddy find you doing hard, weird things. You don't want you to, you know, you don't want your daddy to come over to your house, open the refrigerator, and see a keg. Amen?
Amen.
It'll destroy his faith. It was destroyed already. I mean, he was damned already. So you'll never have a chance to win him to the Lord. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one with a spirit of what?
Meekness.
Meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be what?
Tempted.
Man, listen, let me tell you what. The biggest thing is that I'll never do that. Next thing you know, you're caught right in the same mess.
Sometimes worse.
And sometimes worse. Bear ye one another's burdens. You know what? I think we could do that, don't you?
Yes.
Somebody down, Missy and
Jeff
down. You know why? Mom's struggling for life. Jackie just lost her sister. I think you ought to call Jackie. You don't have Jackie's number? What?
It's bad. Jackie just lost one sister. Another sister had a massive heart attack, and then she just lost her niece.
You know, wrap your arms. Have you called her? Act like you, oh, I'm a grace believer. I'm a real Christian. Where's your caring? Why don't you pick up the phone and say, Jackie, I was just thinking about you. Can we go out to eat? Oh, I believe in grace. How come you don't act like it? Got time to volunteer at the man, go visit some of these people. You want the ministry? There's brokenhearted people that have just lost that you're supposed to be close to. What'd you do on your day off? Did you go and visit somebody and tell them, hey man, I know how it hurts? You're needed. And man, that's the most caring church. I've never seen a church stop by and see people. How many here stopped by and seen Deb since she's been sick? Or Jackie since she's lost her niece, her sister, and her other sister had a massive heart attack? How many stopped by and seen Doris? Man, that's the ministry, guys. What do you think it is? Caring for people when they're down, guys. And you lift them up because you love them. And you know how God loved you when you were down.
Right.
You take that same love and you put it out. When I don't see that love coming out of people, when I don't see the fruit of the Spirit, I start to have to wonder, where's the Spirit?
Right.
People ask me why I go up to Kentucky. Well, I want those people of the Lord. I needed to root them and drown them and establish them in the truth. My responsibility. If it was Papa Pay, I'd quit a long time ago because there ain't no money in it. I mean, some people think you can live off of rabbit tracks and air. You too. I've taken care of you when you guys wouldn't even take care of me. Your mom died, who was right next to your side at the funeral, brother?
You. You.
That's what brothers in Christ do, man. You need to get around Jackie. You need to get around Debbie, Deborah and Missy and Jeff. And go see them. I know it'll take a little time out of your day. People go, man, that church cares. Even a phone call would be fantastic. And I got to say, I'm guilty. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the love of Christ. That's it. If a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he what?
Deceiving himself.
Verse 3.
6:3.
Verse 4. But love, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he rejoice in himself alone and not in another. He'll go, hey, you know, I've done the best I could do. See, we can't judge one another and say, well, that person doesn't deserve my attention. They all deserve our attention. Amen? Amen. And they need the gospel. They need to know that you're the man that can deliver it, or you're the woman that can deliver it. And I believe a woman can witness just as much as a man can witness. I just don't believe that a woman can use or should usurp authority over a man. Got it? I don't think women ought to teach men. But I believe women can teach women and children. And I believe it's vital that they do. Now, go to Galatians chapter 5 for a minute. He tells it very clearly in Galatians chapter 5 that we are to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. See that in verse 1? That's the whole key. You have been called into liberty. You have been called into that freedom. And look what he says. Verse 4. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. If you go back under the law, you are fallen from grace. That's not what he's talking about with this stumbling block thing. He didn't say being a legalist. You got it? That's not what he's saying. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Come on down just a little bit here. Verse 13. For brethren, if you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the what? Don't use it so you can say, well, it's grace. I'm just, you know, I mean, it is grace, by the way. Amen. Let's go out and party and have a beer. Let's sit around the campfire and sing kumbaya with a six-pack down. No, no, no. No, no, no. What happens if somebody comes in that you're trying to witness to? You won't be able to witness to them, and your testimony will be tarnished, and your actions could have caused that person never, ever to hear or accomplish the grace of God. I hope I'm not confusing the Kentucky group. I mean this sincerely, guys. Verse 13 again. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Have we? What is God's will for us to do? Stand fast in that liberty. Amen? But don't use it as, why? Because it becomes a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in our brother's way. And that's Romans chapter 14. We don't want that to happen. But by love, serve one another. For the law is fulfilled in this one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thy what? Man, listen, if you had that attitude and you worried about your neighbors and you worried about people dying around you and thinking about it, listen, let me tell you what, we don't mention those prayers just to mention it. It's to put it on your mind that maybe Dale will pick up that phone and call Mrs. Bradley and say, Mrs. Bradley, we've been praying for you at Grace Bible Church. I just wanted you to know I'm thinking about you. Is there anything I can do to help you? You know what he just did? He allowed his chance when the bonus of his attitude to witness to her, she's allowed him, one that a boy, to come on in and say hi. You all understand? But how many called Miss Bradley? Did you call Miss Bradley? Might even get a Toyota sale out of it. Listen, you can't understand God's blessing. You all understand? You got to pick up the phone and tell him, hey, I'm from Grace Bible Church. I just want you to know, Jackie, I'm praying for you. I know you just lost your sister. Is there anything we can do? I think the women ought to be thinking, well, what can we take over to Jackie's house to help feed them? I shouldn't have to think about that. I think Mary should think about that. I think Renee should think about that. You all understand? Deborah, I know you're hiding back there. You ought to be thinking about that too. No. Do you all understand what I'm saying? You know, how you attack this world is all you got, guys.
That's right.
Your sin is covered at the cross. But how you interact with each other and with people around you in this lost world is very, very important. And God is going to judge that. Did it enhance the ministry or did it detract? I mean, guys, I could go for another 2 hours on the same subject. There's so many verses in here I haven't even hit. But I think you got the gist of it, right? You know what my goal in life is, Dan? Do you know?
Get as many people into heaven as you can while you're doing it.
No, I can't do that anyway. But this is what I can do. I'm going to strive to be the best preacher that I can possibly be, upholding my vessel. Go to 1 Thessalonians. It keeps coming up in my head. There's obviously something there you need to see. Verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from what? Fornication. And that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, and not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Boy, that's powerful, isn't it? Verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Hey guys, you're the vessels that God is using to bring the rest of Montgomery, Kentucky, Tennessee, California, wherever you are, of Bobby Harris there in D.C., Lee Waltman in Georgia. You are the vehicle and the vessel that God is using to show his grace. You don't think you're something? God has chosen you. You know what you need to do? You need to get the doctrine down. Amen? Can't go by your good things. I think one time Tony thought I was going to be impressed with his good work. Was not. Wasn't impressed. But as he starts to give out that word of God, that impresses me. He's studying. When he starts to lay out the doctrine to people, haven't seen that yet, but hey, it should come soon. And I want to witness to his boss. Say, man, he may fire me. Hey, praise the Lord. You won't have to work all those hours. Amen. I didn't like him anyway. I witnessed to my district manager, my manager, all the other assistant managers. I wasn't afraid. You know why? because all I wanted to do was to be, man, my only object in life is to be the greatest preacher I can possibly become, whatever that is. And I work at it. And I have a lot to be thankful for my wife. When I first started this, I couldn't even read the Bible. And she had basically taught me to read and helped me to read. It's amazing. You can do whatever you want if you put you. So I'm too fat and ugly to do it. Well, then you've already given up. Isn't that pitiful? That's pitiful. You can do whatever you want. Y'all understand me? You can do all things through Christ with strength. There ain't nothing lacking in you. But God hadn't called you onto some bump in the road. He's called you onto holiness and onto righteousness. And you are the vessels that people see. And the only way they can hear it, the grace of God, is through your mouth. Tell me it doesn't matter. Your life matters. Your life matters.